Hello and welcome to another episode of OKC Over Easy, featuring my friend Brendan.
How's it going?
Say hi to the people of Oklahoma City.
Hi, Oklahoma City. I've never been to you.
You don't lead with that. We can talk about that later.
But I have an intention of going.
This is the third time I've taken my podcast to a remote location. First time was the Spice Shop. Mm-hmm. Second time was Norman. And my most ambitious of date, I'm in Chicago right now.
Chicago? Yeah. You're in Chicago right now.
Yes, and it's snowing outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of snow here.
Yeah.
Chicago winters. 1 year. My eyelashes froze. It was so cold.
How long were you outside, though?
Less than 10 minutes.
Okay.
I was trying to walk half a mile back to my apartment. Called a cab.
If we go outside right now, will my eyelashes freeze?
No.
Okay.
The sub-zero cold and the negative 44 wind chill
Just
makes you want to be done with everything.
It's kind of funny because right now in Oklahoma City, it's like 30 degrees and everybody's complaining. And then today it was like 21 degrees. I saw a girl with cropped leggings and flats. And I was like, what is wrong with her? And Brendan was like, it's just, we're conditioned to it.
People wear shorts if it's like 30 or 40 degrees out here.
It was scary to me because I was like bundled.
It's not like it's a cool thing. It's just like what they do. It's like, oh, I can wear shorts because I'm tough. No, you're going to get frostbite.
Yeah. but yes, I'm here because Chicago's a great food city.
I agree.
Yeah.
Very much so.
And so we've been eating at some lit, as you would describe them, places.
Very, very lit.
Extremely lit places.
Extremely lit.
Lit. We're going to get into that in a little bit. But first, we have to do my segments that I've created. So first, eat of the week. I don't have one.
All right.
So because I'm not done eating here.
It's true.
We still have a couple of places to go. And we'll talk in the main segment. I think we'll talk about like our experiences.
What you could do is an Easter egg at the end of the episode for you have to like listen to the end for the eat of the week this week.
Oh, that is a great idea because I doubt that people make it past like 15 minutes of this podcast.
Well, since I'm on it, I mean, they're going to. But I guess being around me is an endurance test enough. An audio recording.
Brendan, let me tell you a little bit about Brendan. Brendan loves everything and everything. Just like all the things and all the stuff. So whenever we met, he was like, you like food? Because this is, okay, so I'll tell you listeners how we met. When I went to Chicago the first time, our good buddy, Camp Firewood.
Mike Ross.
Mike Ross. Said, hey, my friend Brendan lives in Chicago. You should ask him for food recommendations. So I said, hey, Good Eats in Chicago. And he sent me like literally 1,000 words of all the restaurants. It was like a very detailed email.
To be fair, I have a prepared restaurant list that I made minor edits to and sent to you.
I figured that like maybe that there's something. But I'm like, I should make one of those for Oklahoma City. If you would like a restaurant list of like the good restaurants and my opinion on them, so you can send just those, like, these are my opinions, these are OKC Over Easy's opinions. Yeah. Tweet me and I'll do that for you.
Great,
because I'm a public servant.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Anyway, so he sent me this detailed list and I was like, this guy likes food.
I do.
Yeah,
very much so.
So we didn't go to any of those places when I came here the first time, so I had to come back.
Yes.
Yeah, so we could go to some of those places. Anyway, so I don't have an eat of the week yet. Maybe at the end I'll record, when I get home, I'll record and say what my favorite place was.
So it's even a mystery to me as what the eat of the week is.
Yes. Well, yeah, you'll have to listen in.
I like that idea.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
Grocery gab. So today on our adventures, we went to, it's not really a grocery store. It's more like a market.
It's a market and several restaurants.
Yes. And I was so overwhelmed. And we went to Eataly. That's where we went.
You should share the picture of yourself. Okay, see you over Easy's Twitter account.
I'll tweet the picture of me when I got to the top of the escalator in Eataly, and then you guys can determine on like how excited I was. Because, I mean, I like Italian food. If it was like a Mexican what if it was like a Mexican food place?
Oh, there is one.
What's it called?
It's called Latinicity. It's on State Street.
Can we stop this and go like right now?
Let's go. It's a little different than Italy, but yeah, it's like the same kind of vibe. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not bad.
No, but I was like, oh my, because they literally have anything that you would want in Italy. So let me kind of explain to you guys, if you've been there, then skip this part. But if you haven't, I'll kind of explain to you guys like what it's like. So you walk in. And on the ground floor, there's like a coffee area. There's also like a chocolates bar, I guess, like a candy store kind of, which I kind of thought about doing, but then I decided against it. Because you have to buy it by like the fourth of a pound. Mm. And all I wanted was like one little piece.
They have like a gelato station.
Yes.
A sandwich station.
Yeah.
A whole station devoted to Nutella.
Yes, which I said the hot take, Nutella's overrated.
I personally don't like it at all. Like, if it's on something, I'll be like, fine.
I'm not excited whenever someone is like, yes, this has Nutella on it. This piece of bread or whatever has Nutella in it.
It's just like it stops. It doesn't flow when you're looking at ingredients. It's like, oh, Nutella, hazelnuts. Like, really? Would you eat hazelnuts any other time?
It doesn't even really taste like hazelnuts. It tastes like chocolate.
But it's like chocolate hazelnut.
Yeah.
It's got that thing. It's a little nutty at the end, but it's not good nutty.
Yeah. It's fine. It's just fine.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's like somebody's like, you got to try this stuff. Like, there's nothing special about it.
No, there's really not.
So I'm just not for Nutella.
But there was a line. I mean, there was a lot of people waiting for it.
People love Nutella. It's like the almost. It's like a weird like thing about this world. It's like Nutella.
Yeah. It's like one of those. It's like one of those food things that people love just to love it, like Nutella, sriracha. I feel like people really like sriracha just to be like, oh, I'm such a sriracha fan.
I like the bottle.
I mean, it's not that great and it has a weird texture.
It's sometimes if something like food needs to be doctored, I'll throw it on there. Personally, I don't like a lot of hot things.
Okay.
But if like there's some eggs or something sometimes and it's just like, these eggs are not working out.
And you don't have any Tabasco.
Tabasco I don't like. My father very famously puts Tabasco on everything, including pasta. It's very strange.
Okay.
Like everything. Tabasco on everything. It's a really weird thing. So I've just kind of, for me, like hot sauce is just like, my dad can't taste anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he just has to put shit in his food.
So when you were growing up, was he like, I'm going to put this Tabasco on your food, son?
No.
Okay. That's why you don't like it.
He wouldn't do that at all. Well, yeah. My brother and I are both notoriously picky eaters.
My
brother still more so than I. Actually, I can't confirm that. I don't really know much about my brother.
Okay.
It's not a thing. I just really don't know. I talk to him regularly.
But you he doesn't share.
He doesn't share. I don't know. Sometimes I find out he was eating sushi. Didn't know he liked sushi.
Well, there you go.
So we went to Sushi Station once, which is in Elgin, Illinois. It's a great conveyor belt sushi restaurant.
Oh, I think they have one of those in Tulsa.
Yeah. One of my all-time favorite suburban eats. It is where I go whenever I would get a paycheck back in the day.
Okay.
I would sit there and I would splurge by myself. It was a very singular experience.
Uh-huh.
Love Sushi Station.
Sushi can... And that's kind of weird because I feel like sushi is more like a share. Because whenever I go eat sushi with my friends, we're like, let's get three or four rolls and everybody picks off. Is that what you do?
I prefer not to be honest with you.
Okay.
I think it's a very, like, I like some things that other people don't. And sometimes
I you don't like cream cheese.
I don't like cream cheese.
Okay.
At all. No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I just feel like a lot of times the sushi is like, I just want my sushi. I don't want to share it. I don't want to have to debate who's going to eat that roll.
Are you like a sushi purist where it's like, you don't like the deep fried, you like it
no,
when
I
it's
love
raw?
The deep fried.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like some people are like, well, it's not sushi if it's not like sashimi or whatever.
I'm not like that.
Okay. Okay.
I'll eat like it. Does it look good? Yeah.
Does it smell good?
I mean, the smell is not really the whole thing with that. You're just like, does this sound kind of crazy? Octopus? Okay. I'll do that.
My coworker brought in octopus salad the other day from Uptown Grocery, which you've never been to Uptown Grocery, but it's like, it was so weird. Like, why does Uptown Grocery have octopus salad? It was just in like a little plastic container, and I tried it and it wasn't good. I mean, it wasn't great. Because it was like one of those pre-made things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like that was right.
Grocery store sushi. Yeah. Grocery store sushi and stuff like that is not ever good. It's
no.
Like you want it to be good. You think like Whole Foods would have good grocery store sushi? No, it's bad. It's real bad.
The only way that I'll do that is if it's like veggie, like brown rice and veggies. Yeah. Just maybe something to like hold me over I eat my next good meal.
It still tastes kind of bland to me.
Yeah.
You would think like Trader Joe's would have some like cool option. No, they don't.
Yeah.
It's some weird thing.
The thing with Trader Joe's, like prepackaged stuff, like not even just sushi, it's like the pre-made stuff. I don't trust it, really. I like to make my own stuff from Trader Joe's. So Tabasco, Sriracha. I'm like trying to backtrack in our conversation of like where we were at.
I'm throwing you off track.
No, it's good. The Nutella. People love Nutella because it's Nutella. Anyway, so there was a Nutella station. There was all sorts of stuff on the bottom floor. Also, samples. Lit with samples.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the one. It was like fancy Sam. Like I like to go to Sam's and get samples. But that was like, here's some limoncello. You know? I was freaking out.
What was it? What is it called? Panettone? The bread?
Yes.
Panettone. So they had multiple varieties. It was like Panettone party. Oh, my party. Gosh. So they're having like complimentary wines with it. Not a joke. I mean, obviously, I didn't drink the wines. Did you have the wines?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had like the limoncello. I had the wine. I had amaretto. I had a bunch of different stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I had the French toast that they made out of
the
Panettone.
Okay. Can you tell the story about the French toast, though? The branding in Italy and the... It's seamless.
Seamless. So what happens is you go down there and you try some of the Panettone. They're like, you know what you can do with this? I'll just give you a little piece of it. They're like, you know you can make some French toast out of this? You don't even have to put like, what do they say, butter?
You don't have to put sugar in
it. You just put a little cinnamon. And then you go upstairs and there's a French toast station where they're making French toast with just the cinnamon and maybe a dusting of powdered sugar. You're just like, this is brilliant. Because it's like they set you up. And they're like, they're not going to go for it. You can take them upstairs and be like, we got a sale right here. And then they've got...
It's so wild how they did that. I was kind of freaking out.
Yeah.
Because really she didn't say like, hey, go upstairs. They have the French toast up there. She goes, it's just really good, you know, as French toast. And you're like, oh my God, it would be. And then it's there. And I got it like hot off the griddle and it was so good. I went up to Brandon. I was like, I ate this too fast. Like, I need to go get another one.
You looked like panicked because it was gone.
So good.
I literally walked away from you for like 15 minutes just so you could.
Okay, well, we have to tell him about upstairs. Mm-hmm. But when I was upstairs, he kind of was like, hey, do you need a minute? I was like, yes, I do. Thank you. And I was like looking at pesto for like 20 minutes. But then I'm like, I can't take it back on the plane. It was just kind of, it was an internal struggle of like what I should buy to take back.
Could have shipped it back. It wouldn't have
been. I guess I could have done that. But I bought some smoked sea salt is what I got.
That's good.
But so when you go upstairs, there's like a full marketplace. So it's kind of like a grocery store, but it's also there's like 8 different restaurants, I think. There's a pizza restaurant, there's a pasta restaurant, there's a bread bakery area. There's meat counters. I saw some octopus up there.
Fish.
And then there's a cheese station where they make mozzarella and burrata and all sorts of stuff fresh daily. The produce section, I got real emotional.
Legitimately almost saw you start sobbing when you looked at the colors of the Swiss chard.
The Swiss chard was just
chard. Okay.
Is that how you say it?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Chard.
Tweet OKC over easy with the right pronunciation.
Tweet me if you know the pronunciation of chard.
How to say that thing. That's good.
It's beautiful. It's rainbow colored. It's good for you. It's healthy. It's from the earth. It's not, I mean, that was probably genetically modified in some way, but it is, it's gorgeous. There was a little produce section. I had a moment where I reflected on my love of produce and how I fell in love with produce last year. I just walked around and it was amazing. It was packed. Obviously it's a Saturday, but I don't know. It was awesome. I don't think I would grocery shop there.
You can't.
Yeah. Unless you are a millionaire.
No, it's not. I don't think it's designed for that. I think it's like a specialty shop.
Yeah.
And it's like
for tourists.
Tourists or maybe. Or
you
if
said you had waited there for 2 hours or something.
I waited for an hour for a table for food, but it was like the weekend it opened.
Though. Oh, okay.
I was like dead set. I'm, yeah. I'm going in.
What
on
did
this.
You get? Do you remember?
Just a real basic like pizza. It's just like
okay.
I'm trying to think of what it was. Margarita pizza kind of deal, and some pasta with just red sauce just to try something.
Yeah.
Everything was super expensive, and I had a part-time job. It was not.
Yeah. You were like, I'm going in, balling on a budget.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, you can't grocery shop there. I had a moment where, shout out to Judy, I saw some Kelowna Supernatural cottage cheese, and you know how we got that on sale at Natural Grocers for like $3.50. It's normally like $4.40 at Whole Foods. On a normal day, it was $5.80, and I was crying because that's like 3 servings for me. Anyway, so they have that kind of stuff too. In the checkout line, they have all these different types of Italian like cookies and candy. And it was just a well-oiled operation. There was wine tastings all over, and they had cheese tastings, all sorts of stuff. So what we got, which we haven't snacked on it yet, we have to. But we got some bread, some prosciutto, and I told Brendan about how I had prosciutto in my state fair salad. And looking back, I'm like, that was way too progressive for the Oklahoma State Fair. Way too progressive.
It was a moonshot.
It was.
didn't really pan out for you.
But here, I'm among my people that like love all types of prosciutto. There's like tons of prosciutto there, and then. I got mozzarella, and then I got some smoked sea salt to take back and make my dishes really fancy. So that is like a grocery-ish gab. It was perfect. It was beautiful. And thank you for taking me.
No problem.
Yeah, it was good.
Not a problem whatsoever.
How often do you go there?
Not very.
Not very often.
I used to spend more time down there, mm-hmm. kind of because I lived down there.
Yeah.
But... it's like you kind of go once in a while. It's
yeah.
Like if you're in the neighborhood in River North in that area, or if you're like near the Shake Shack, you're like, oh, let's go to Eataly.
Let's check it out.
It's like you can, I mean, because it's kind of one of those places where you can either eat there.
Yeah.
Or you can just like pick up something and use it, you know, get it for later. I think one day I was like, I really want bread. I just went there and bought some bread.
Can you say that again in that voice?
I really want bread. And I just went there and ate a bunch of bread.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so. That's kind of how it is.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
The one in New York, I've been to the one in New York. It is much smaller, mm-hmm. but with like twice as many people. So just figure that one out.
Yeah, that's no good.
No. So good.
The last time that I came here, we went to Whole Foods and there was like a wine tasting or whatever. And there was a ton of people and it was like hot and it was so crowded. But it was cool. It was like the same kind of there. I didn't get too overwhelmed. But we used to stay there a ton of time.
Do you want an interesting fun fact about Eataly?
Of course. That's what this podcast is about.
So it is formerly the location of Disney Quest, which is kind of like a gaming version of a Disney-related things, and you could go there and play games. Shake Shack used to be the Harley Davidson store.
Oh.
Or ESPN, the ESPN Zone.
That's
what it was. Yeah.
I think I went there on my fifth grade choir field trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Disney, yeah, there's the ESPN Zone and... Disney Quest. But
okay.
Yeah, that was it. So now it's Eataly and Shake Shack, which for me, it worked either way. Younger and older, now it's like burgers and
tennis. They're just like catering to your needs down there.
Chicago generally is a perfect place for me. There's a lot of meat.
Okay.
There's a lot of good music.
Yeah.
Funny people.
Yeah. Comedians.
And, yeah. I mean, I'm not a comedian, but I mean, like, I enjoy people that are funny.
And yeah.
I hate being cold.
You hate being cold?
I hate being cold. I hate being hot. I don't really like either of them. I'm miserable either way.
I know. Well, we were talking... When we went to breakfast, we were talking to this guy about the weather. And then we were talking about how... He goes, I think it gets hot in Oklahoma. I think it gets hot in Oklahoma. I was like, yeah. It gets up there. I don't mind it. I have 2 friends, shout out to Bryce and Sarah, that hate it. And they... complain separately away from me because they complain so much about it.
There's 2 times where you don't want to know me. Number one.
When you're too cold?
When I'm too hot.
Oh, okay.
Number 2, when I haven't eaten and I've been up for several hours.
Yeah.
I have the worst hanger of anyone you'll ever meet.
Okay. Well, good to know.
Real bad. People are like, they said my dramatic mood shifts from when I when I haven't eaten something to like immediately after I eat something are just so sudden. It's like, I've had friends advocate to have granola bars in their pockets just in case, like a break glass in case of an emergency.
And for you.
Emergency. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think I get angry. I think I just get kind of woozy and like shaky if I don't eat.
That happens, but I'm just, it's not, I don't know if I get so much angry. It's just like, I'm impossible to deal with. Like,
yeah.
You can't wrangle me.
You're like a small child.
It's kind of just like, he's nonverbal. Like, yeah. you need to get him some food.
He's not responsive. You're just kind of just like standing there.
Coffee's not enough. You have to get something in.
If you drink coffee on an empty stomach, it's like even worse.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah. My brother refers
to my stomach. Your brother is coming up a lot.
My brother refers to my stomach as the Iron Lady. Because I'm very famous for getting very sick and eating really things I really enjoy, but they don't really agree with my stomach.
So you just do it, and then you're like, I'm going to get sick anyway.
And some of the consequences, yeah. So my brother refers to me as my stomach is the Iron Lady.
I have a pretty strong stomach, but I'm over here like, I'm not the same as you because Chick-fil-A made me sick twice 3 years ago, and I still won't eat it. So it's like, sometimes I crave it. Like, my knees get weak smelling it. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I don't want to put myself through that.
Closed eyes, head first, can't lose. Just drive straight into the mall. It's okay.
I gotta do it. I feel like this year has been rough. We have a new president-elect. I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast. What if this like just became a political podcast like right now? And I was like, we're not talking about food anymore. We're talking about the state of America. But it's making me want to eat Chick-fil-A. Did I just say Chick-fil-A?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You doing okay?
Yeah.
You doing okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I'm fine. This is fine.
Is this turning OKC over easy? Is it turning into like on-air therapy?
Maybe. I mean, what has it been the entire time, honestly?
I don't know.
You haven't listened to all of the episodes.
No, there's a lot. I'm working on it.
So that's our grocery gab. We kind of went off on there. It's fine. I like it. It's good. So tell me about, you're my guest. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about your food life.
My food life.
Mm-hmm.
I like a lot of it. Mm-hmm. No, probably I'm most identified with the food I eat is there used to be a place in Chicago called Hot Dogs.
Okay. You've told me about this.
So basically it was a hot dog place that had a lot of specialty sausages and stuff like that. So they would have ones that are like Coca-Cola infused, like Hot Link.
Oh,
like
that. Okay.
They have like alligator sausage, turducken sausage, three different kinds of meats.
Wow.
A lot of really weird, unique stuff. So you'd have your standard fare, like Chicago dog, you know, with the mustard, relish, mm-hmm. hot peppers occasionally. I'm doing this out of order. Uh-huh. Onions. Or the relish is green, though, like neon green relish.
Yeah.
No ketchup.
That is a cardinal rule here.
Like, there's a wall of shame at one restaurant if you have used ketchup.
They have ketchup there if they don't want you to use it?
For fries.
Oh, and then people just go rogue and put it on their
hot
dog.
What you do. You don't go rogue. I got people here in Chicago that have hot dogs with ketchup and a slice of cheese on it. It's not okay. You know who you are. Uh-oh. If you're listening.
That sounds threatening.
I'm sorry. I probably should take it back a notch, right? So anyways, Hot Dogs is the place I'm most identified with going is because I would wait. They would have sometimes lines that would last like an hour and a half to get through the door. It's a relatively small restaurant.
Okay.
But on Fridays and Saturdays, they would render the fries in duck fat.
Okay, so, there's a place in Oklahoma City kind of like that.
Yeah, but I think this, I understand that.
Yeah, it's Midtown Mutt, not Midtown Mutts, that's a dog park. Mutts, it's called Mutts.
Yeah.
Hot dogs.
So yeah, I think it's probably like a newer, I would say, I don't know if it's newer, but I would say probably, you see it more and more these days now as it's like, it's just like a new way to do things, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like foie gras, which is, you know what that is, right? It's goose liver?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's that. My friend Matt really loves that.
Okay.
It's really rich, and they put it on top of, like, I don't remember what kind of sausage it is. It's really intense flavoring, but it was a really good restaurant. It was open for 13 years, and it closed in 2014, and it was really sad for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But occasionally, Doug will do, like, pop-ups in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And this year, I got to interview him for an article I wrote about
hot dogs.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah, so it's cool.
So would you say you were, like, a regular there, like they knew you?
I think he started to notice my face, but he didn't know my name.
Okay, yeah.
But I mean, like, with anything I do, I kind of just, I go all out.
You just go for it.
I got to kind of go for it. Yeah. And then, like, oh, it's that guy.
He's back.
He's back.
For another hot dog.
He seems relatively non-threatening, but he needs to figure out something else to do. So, but there's a spiritual successor to it now called Hot G-Dogs.
Okay.
And they do duck fat fries every day. And the stuff's same. It's because it's two of the chefs that used to work at Hot Dogs.
Okay.
The brothers.
So do you go there a lot?
No. I've been there twice.
Oh, it's not as great.
It's far, a little farther away.
Oh, okay.
The other one used to be like right where I guess it didn't really matter. I wouldn't live here.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was easier to get to off the highway. This one's a little farther north.
Yeah.
So yeah, Hot Dogs, that's a lot of it. What else do you want to know?
Tell me, okay, so you have said before that you enjoy going out to eat.
I love
it. More than cooking.
I don't cook at all.
Okay.
literally, I mean, it's very rare, and if I do, it's me, I'm making pasta or something.
Yeah.
I will do just about anything not to cook. And it's not that I don't like it.
Uh-huh.
I just don't want to spend any time doing it.
Okay, I got you.
So it'll be, I have a lot of talking to's from family and friends about, hey man, learn how to cook. And I'm like, no, it's not as fun.
I disagree with you. I think it is fun. I don't think it's fun. I think it's very, very relaxing.
Sure.
Because you kind of just, I get in my kitchen and I just zone out. I listen to a podcast or I listen to music. And it's just like, I am going to follow these recipes. Once you get like those first kind of like cooking techniques down, then you can kind of apply that to everything. And sometimes you mess up. That's why I don't like baking as much, is because there is a lot more room for error in baking. But with cooking, it's like once you kind of have learned those basic like skills, then it's more freeing because you can put those to any type of use.
I've baked a little bit here and there. I had a kind of a phase where I was like, I'm going to bake stuff.
Yeah.
And it was fun. I made these things called tuxedo bars.
Okay.
They're like a densely like chocolate kind of brownie thing with like white chocolate chips and stuff in it.
Okay.
They're actually in a Mrs. Fields cookbook from like 1989 or 1991.
I love a vintage cookbook.
It's great.
Those are all,
but I think when my mom got it, it was like new.
Wow.
So yeah, it was just like back then. So tuxedo bars have been like a long time favorite in the fam.
Okay.
They're just, it's a lot of chocolate, but it's like, it's lit.
Yeah. And you have a Italian and what is?
Italian mother, Irish father.
Yes.
But
okay.
I mean, my dad's from Chicago. My mom is from New Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah. So she grew up mostly in New Jersey. So yeah, it's kind of how we got. It's what we got. It's a lot of yelling at each other, mainly because they're just
and a lot of Italian food.
Yeah, I mean, sort of. I mean, it's not like my mom is not a great eater in terms of the things that she likes to eat.
Uh-huh.
No one's really adventurous in my family. I'd say probably I'm the most adventurous. My dad will just eat purely weird things like canned fish.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's like, adventurous.
But it's like I can get him to try things that I like.
Yeah.
He usually doesn't like them.
Okay.
But he's the only one that has an open mind to be like, oh,
I'll try it.
It's okay. You know,
Okay, tell me about, besides hot dogs, tell me like two or three other restaurants that you love and you would identify with.
I would identify with, or like places that were like a remarkable meal experience.
Okay,
so the one I always like to cite is Schwa,
mm-hmm.
and it's a restaurant. It's in Chicago that kind of specializes in molecular gastronomy. I think that's what you call it.
Yeah.
This guy, his name is Michael Carlson. They always kind of think like he's kind of like a little punk rock, more or less.
Okay.
He's like a disciple of what?
I feel like sometimes a lot of chefs are like a little punk rock.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like you got to be kind of crazy to be a chef.
Right.
Like, you have to. Your brain needs to be out there.
Uh-huh.
You need to be like tiptoeing the line between like sanity and totally nuts.
Yes.
He's like a disciple of Charlie Trotter, who's like a famous Chicago chef.
Okay.
Had a restaurant called Charlie Trotter's here for close to 25 years, closed it, and then died the next year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was going to, like, teach or travel, and he never made it.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Carlson, I guess this molecular gastronomy, you know, it's like food that basically it goes through like a different process, so it looks like one thing and tastes like another.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another restaurant that does it here, pretty famous. It's called Alinea. It's the one
that's
most Michelin
stars. That's in the, if you guys have seen the second episode of Chef's Table.
Mm-hmm.
There's an episode about Alinea that's really, really super interesting. The chef has like a crazy backstory, and it looks lit.
Yeah. We're saying lit way too much.
I think that may be your fault.
Yeah, just start bleeping lit.
Okay.
Yeah. No, so yeah, anyways, this is kind of a cheaper option, to be honest with you. But
than Alinea.
Alinea, yeah. So yeah. Schwa's kind of interesting in the fact that when you, like, it's very famous that, like, if you don't have a reservation, you can't just show up.
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of times you would call and the voicemail will be full, mm-hmm. or they'll just call you back, and I got a call back.
Oh.
And so we went. And
who did you go with?
So I went with a friend of mine.
I thought you were going to say Tim. So no, that's why I asked.
Tim, no, I don't know. So Tim experiencing food is a whole podcast in itself. Hi, Tim. So you go there and it's like, you bring booze for the chefs. Uh-huh. Like, and then you go there and they start bringing out courses and uh-huh. it's like a 9-course meal, but they start bringing out like crazy, crazy shit. Mm-hmm. And it's like, one of the things I had was a quail egg ravioli, and it's just like in a little thing. So you eat that, and it's like the super most rich, buttery tasting ravioli of your life.
Yes.
I had a thing called Heads Up 7-Up, which it was an oyster encased in 7-Up.
Okay.
And it's like in a ball.
Yeah. But how was it bound?
It's just like, I don't know. It's just like a gelatin ball kind
okay.
of thing.
Yeah.
And then you shoot salt and pepper with it.
Mm-hmm.
You throw it back and it's like a salt and pepper kind of combination.
Yeah.
And it replicates like drinking 7-Up, but it's an oyster, so it's briny.
That's crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pastrami sandwich, which is just a delicate, tiny little ball.
Uh-huh.
It was like a little, it was like barely solid.
Mm-hmm.
And you put it in there and it's supposed to taste like a pastrami sandwich with like mustard on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you need to shoot it really quick because it's going to explode all over the place if you don't do it. So that was really good.
I might have anxiety at this place.
It's
like,
so cool.
Okay.
And they blare hip hop. That's yeah. why it's like, that's
see,
the deal.
I would love that.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
Like other things I had were like, I can't even remember. It mm-hmm. was just like, it's the most creative, wild.
Trying to do and like their plans for growth and mm-hmm. The future. I really love their farm to table dinners.
Okay.
And I love shopping there.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've done a lot for farmers markets
mm-hmm.
Just by being a presence there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been really cool to see just all the people that have been touched by them, all the people that have interacted mm-hmm. with them. And there's a lot of local chefs that use their food.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been great getting to know Matt,
mm-hmm.
Matt Birch, who started Urban Agrarian. And then just the people that have worked for him or currently work for him.
Mm-hmm.
But really, those experiences have been really cool. And I think that's that kind of says, like, you know, I knew Urban Agrarian. I shopped there. I knew what it was. But
mm-hmm.
I didn't necessarily know the story behind it. And I didn't know how many people were involved in starting it
mm-hmm.
and making sure it still exists.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that goes for everyone
mm-hmm.
As far as supporting them and shopping mm-hmm. there. So
I use a bunch of Urban Agrarian stuff in my State Fair grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
And it was super fun.
Like, yeah.
I mean, I go there. I like that area in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
I went in the other day and I was like, looking for a tomato or something. Obviously they're not gonna have it, you know. So I was like, but yes, I love that area
yeah.
too. And
well,
that's a great
it
resource.
Teaches you to cook seasonally
mm-hmm.
like whether you're trying to or not.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's something that
because they have those winter squashes like all over
uh-huh.
you know.
Yeah, I mean it is teaching our bodies like what to look for.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now they have some citrus. I think some of them are from Texas,
mm-hmm.
but local is considered within 500 miles. So
okay.
it's that it is still local.
Yeah.
So citrus is like its peak season during the flu season.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's, you know, for
yeah.
a reason to
yeah.
like help our bodies get the nutrients we need. And so same thing for so many of the vegetables that are seasonal and go in and out of season. We should really let them be out of season.
Yeah.
And buy them when they're good.
Yeah.
And then when we're doing that, we're showing farmers that's what we want.
Mm-hmm.
And then that allows them to plan. But when we demand good tomatoes like all year
yeah.
long, and we want like the vine ripe or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's showing them that that's what we want and we don't care about their standards,
mm-hmm.
but we do.
Yeah.
You know, so I think they're teaching people without compromising
yeah.
how to eat seasonally.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I love that area. I love Powerhouse. And
mm-hmm.
I stumbled across Powerhouse one day. We were out hiking and we had our dog with us.
Uh-huh.
And we shopped at Urban Agrarian and we saw a sign that said beer. So we went over there.
Yeah, of course, went right to it.
And we took our dog and we sat on the porch and the staff at Powerhouse like loved our dog
mm-hmm.
and barely talked to us. And we were like, yes, this
yeah.
is our place because we feel the same way about dogs and like we love places that love our dog.
Yeah.
He's our baby.
Yeah.
So.
That's awesome.
So yeah, that's been
that's a cool, that's really, that's not, that wasn't what I expected you to say, but then, like, when you said it, I was like, that makes, yeah, like, total sense.
I mean, I think I could probably, like, nail down some really good meals I've had, but as far as, like, collective consistent experience,
yeah,
I've loved it. Like, I, my friend Andrea helps with those dinners and really puts them on, and she asked me to serve at one, and I loved it. Yeah. It was, like, more fun for me to serve than it is to be
sit
served.
Down and eat.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I loved it. Cool. I loved being with the team, like, the staff there. And
yeah.
Yeah. Talk about, like, working towards common good. Like, yeah. They're just, yeah, I loved
that's,
it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, you've been in the Oklahoma City food scene for a while. You're working for, you know, with Edible OKC, and they also have a podcast. It's called the Edible Happy Hour, and a couple episodes, and you have on, the last one I listened to was Allison Dake, the bakery, brown egg bakery.
Yes.
Tell me, like, a little bit about your experience kind of with that. Like, has it been fun? Like,
yeah,
we're like the only, there's like only two of us, you know, in Oklahoma City talking about.
And then, Annie, if you've ever cooked with tequila too.
So one of my favorite things I did for a soup swap, was, like, who does that? It was really fun though, because my freezer was like packed and everybody's was different, which is kind of funny.
I've never
we didn't
heard
plan
about
it.
That. So fun.
So you bring four.
Not that bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, when I hear like all you can eat anything, I'm like, oh my gosh, I love food. Yes. But then I have to sit down and be like, okay, I get.
Do
full
I want like
really
a trough?
Fast.
Or do I want? Yeah. Like a meal that they bring out that's $14 meal, you know?
Yeah, I get full really fast. So yeah. I'm like,
and see, for me, a $14 entree on a brunch menu, I wouldn't flinch at that.
Yeah.
If the quality was really
high.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So, and that, because I mean, I don't think that food is actually, because I was in the restaurant industry for so long, food is not the price it should be.
Okay.
And a lot of restaurants make up the margins for that on alcohol.
Okay, gotcha.
And so a $14 all-you-can-eat brunch, considering all the factors, depending on the quality of it, and I've had food at Powerhouse, so I'm sure it was good. That's a pretty amazing deal.
You think?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't been
to their brunch, so I don't really know.
Yeah. It was on Saturday, though. That was nice.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I love that there's a bunch of Saturday brunches now. So, like, Saints is a Saturday brunch. Powerhouse is a Saturday brunch, I think. Does the Pump do a Saturday brunch also?
I don't know. I have no idea.
They do have a good brunch, though.
I think if you want to start getting hammered at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, oh, keep it going all the way till.
Go to the Pump. The Pump always gets me.
Or Fassler Hall. They have, like, you can get, like, a carafe of champagne, and then they have, like, a little juice.
Oh, Fassler Hall has
it's
a
$8.
Fassler Hall has a low-key good brunch. Like,
do they? Okay.
Yeah, and but I always get the chicken and waffle, and it's very, very simple. It's just chicken schnitzel and a waffle, butter,
that's
and
what
syrup.
I get.
That's it.
But then you can get, like, a whole carafe of champagne is just $8. And
there you go. It used to be $6, but we won't talk about that.
I didn't know that.
Okay, well, guys, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
I was enlightened, and I love talking about food and restaurants, so I'm glad that we got to do that together today. If you want to follow Janelle, what do you want them to follow you on?
My Twitter and Instagram is JanelleOKC.
Okay, and then Lennon?
At Lennon Patton.
On everything?
Twitter.
Just follow him on Twitter, and he'll be talking about running and
pizza
and
breakfast.
And if you want to follow me, obviously it's OKC Over Easy on Twitter. You can follow my Snapchat. It's MalloryMC because I didn't want to make a separate Snapchat for this. You can also email me. My dog's doing something crazy. You can also email me okcovereasy@aol.com for a mailbag question because I haven't gotten any. So do that, and we will talk to you next time. Bye.